Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic Indie Creator interview. It's your Caper Sir Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with two of our favorite returning guests. We have Wells Thompson and Dalton Shannon here to break down Depths, their brand new graphic novel, and everything in between. How are you guys doing? Welcome back to the show.
Doing great now that you're calling us your favorite. Jeez,
yeah. Favorites,
to everybody
I
on the
I
show.
Know. I know. maybe I use a different word here and there, but hey, you guys 186, 298, and now we're here 364. We've had a lot of moments. It's our second launch party. I really feel a bond, you know, just between the three of us.
Oh, yeah, no. And you're crushing it, dude.
It's like, a trifecta of love, you know?
We got to show up on like 401 or something like that. That'll be our next one.
Yeah. We all have to have mustaches at that point, though.
Well, says he refuses to shave the beard,
I'm
though.
I'm not shaving this. I'm not shaving. Look, I have very little.
His chin has a mustache.
I don't have a lot. But what I do have, I'm keeping.
Well, hey, that's so very brave of you.
My wife will be very upset with me if I shave.
Last time we talked, you guys were in the middle of another Kickstarter. You know, what happened since then? You know, we've had you on a handful of times to kind of get a nice introduction to who you are. So I think that field's been plowed a lot. Let's go ahead, skip over the introduction. We'll have that video for anyone that is watching popping up right now. And how have you guys been? You know, what have you guys been up to since the last time you've been on the show?
Fulfillment a lot.
Yeah, we
wrapped up Mechaton and Frankenstein and...
Yeah, so Frankenstein the Unconquered number 2, all of the packages went out. Mm-hmm. That was really satisfying. It was also exhausting because we had like 415 backers on that campaign. So that was a lot of packages. That
You know, it was so funny. I forgot I got the Not Safe for Work cover because flops. And like, so I'm opening it. My girl's right next to me. I'm like, yeah, I love getting these from the indie community. And she's like so excited to see it. And it's just like, oh, Frankenstein boobies. And I'm like, ah!
you want a better story. My brother opened up his package in front of my parents, and he got the 11x17 print.
Let's go!
I was really hoping that would happen. That makes me very happy.
I can't wait for his explanation as to why he got the poster. It has to just be a conversation piece, right? Surely.
What did the parents think, though? I'm curious about that as well.
Oh, they got
the body pillow.
No, that's the thing. They literally sent me a message that was like, please don't send the Not Safe for Work cover. Like, that we want to support you. We're getting the everything tier. Leave it out. And then my dad got the everything tier, and he left no such message. He was like, I'm explicitly
Hell
doing
yeah.
this.
So, I mean, how was that like for you guys? I mean, how's the experience, you know, from boxing to taking it to the post office?
Better this time, I would think.
It was, like I said, it was a day. It was a lot of hard work, a lot of second guessing, making little notes in the margins, trying to
But you didn't have to do it by yourself this time.
But we did it as a team, which is something we've actually never done before. We've always lived too far apart or haven't been convenient to do it. So it was a team bonding experience.
Beers and boxes.
Absolutely.
Hey, that's perfect. And speaking of that, you two met up at C2E2 not too long ago, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Full day of walking the floor, meeting some great people, seeing some great books, and catching some great germs.
Yeah. Poor Dalton got sick, yeah.
So did you guys just go as guests, or were you able to, like, talk about your books at all?
Pro badge.
Yeah, they believe they foolishly believe that we are professionals in the comic community. Sorry, my camera is shaking. My cat just jumped on top of my desk.
I know cats add like 2 points for every appearance on the stream. I feel
like we get 5 viewers. Like, did someone say there's a cat there? I want to see this cat.
Hey, there's another one.
Good girl noodle. Yeah, no, I. What were we talking about? We were talking about
C2E2.
Yeah. No, that
very pro too. Talking about how pro the pass was, but
yeah, no. So they offered us the professional pass, so we got to go to for free, which was awesome. I don't know who we fooled into thinking that we're comics professionals, but I'm glad that they considered us integral to the system.
It's not about the skills; it's about the resume. And if you can lie on your resume well enough, then you're in anywhere.
And you guys got to meet the Yeti team, too. I was really jealous about that. I was like,
oh,
man.
Yeah. Alex lives here in Chicago with me. Not, like, with me in the same house, but we're buds. And we hang out a lot. And then Krista, the cabbage, angry little cabbage came up and we got to hang out. Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. We have our good friend CBTV over on Twitch stopping in to say, hello, Cody. We are all professionals. Yes, we try to be, or at least the illusion. As long as you can have that illusion rocking, you could sell the rest of it, right?
So, we've sold the illusion for sure.
So for anyone who might be tuning in, though, let's talk a little bit about Frankenstein the Unconquered and your other series as well. You know, give us a little bit about some of your past works before we dive into the new book we're here to talk about, which is Depths. Everyone that is watching, by the way, you could still sign up while it's in pre-launch. We're getting ready to launch this in just a few moments, so make sure you sign up. We're trying to hit at least 140 before we hit launch, so let's make that happen right there.
Cool.
Yes, oh, sir. So yeah, all give right. us a little bit about Frankenstein the Unconquered and everything else, guys.
Absolutely. So yeah, so we have two ongoing series that we're working right now. Frankenstein the Unconquered would be one of them. Issue 2 just went out and is going to be coming up on my Ko-Fi that you'll be able to pick up soon. You can also pick it up on this Kickstarter if you don't have it already. But it is it's Conan the Barbarian with Halloween monsters. It's about Frankenstein's monster in a post-apocalypse just laying waste to things. And
he says he's a writer, people.
Look, I do good typey type. I don't do good speaky speak.
Well, wait, he's only half, though, right? He's only half the writing team, so he can get it wrong here and there.
I catch the typos. It's fine.
So, Don, what about the other creation you guys have, Mechaton? Give us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, Mechatons are all ages beat 'em up with brother and sister find a glove that turns anything it punches into a giant mech. So be that a hot dog cart, a house, a police car, what have you. And they use it to fight giant kaiju, other mechs, you know, planetary bodies of fascistic nature. You know, normal stuff. It's both series are super over the top. They're super action packed and they're both a lot of fun, which is why Depths is such a 180, it feels like.
For yeah, sure.
I was going to say, this one is definitely within the depths of a little bit more sadder approach. I mean, if I'm not, you know, why gear towards depression with this book when the other two were, you know, not in that area?
Because we both have it.
Because I was sad when I wrote it. Yeah, it was the first book that we actually ever worked on together. And so coming out of college, there was a lot of stuff to sort through mentally.
Yeah.
And so Depths was kind of born out of that. And as, you know, you start to kind of figure out how to deal with it. That's when all the fun stuff comes out and you get Mechaton and Frank and all the over the top. But Depths is definitely the art as journal, more or less.
Ooh, that, I like that.
It was, yeah, and we can get more into that as we go. But Depths is much weightier. It's much more literary, but it still has all the character stuff that you come to expect from us. Just not as many punchy punches this time around.
There's still some punchy punches.
Like, there's still some.
There's still some fun action scenes.
Some great set pieces, for sure.
We had an abnormally... Like, we work really well as a writing team. I think one of our biggest, like, spats came out of this book, and it was specifically whether or not something was going to explode. Like, because...
So who was on who? Which end?
I think you know.
I was on team not explode. I was on it makes no sense that this thing should explode. It just makes impact of something and then blows up like it's in an action movie, and he's like, but it's cool! It's the climax of the story. It's big.
It's makes emotionally resonant. It works. And Wells is like, no, no fun.
No.
So how do you guys work through something like that?
Octagon. Put on. Tune in, enter. Yeah.
Generally, yeah. Now it's a lot of back and forth until one of us gets too tired to fight. like, I'm pretty sure that's why, the explosion was cut, because I was just like, you know what, I'm tired.
Care. No, because he knew I was right.
Ever since he took that mustache off, he's changed.
The explosion was cool. So I had
cool
no mustache.
Makes sense.
Yeah, whatever.
Things can be cool and make sense. That's all I'm saying.
We have Ray Holloman over on YouTube. saying all otherwise. Right. Always need the explosion. So, I mean...
I mean, it's not drawn yet. We could always add it back in, but I think it's a mistake.
So we have 112 pages of graphic novel. How was that for you guys the first time around? You're used to writing what 20 to 30 issue, page issues. So, I mean, doing something that's like five times that amount, like, was that a pretty big jump for you? Or
I'll let you in on a little secret. No, because Depths was supposed to be seven individual issues of like 28 pages a piece. It was supposed to be. And then when you get into the Kickstarter space, you find out that, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to string a Kickstarter audience along for seven issues of a deep, introspective literary character piece when... You know, things like even Mechaton have some hurdles selling issue to issue when that would do much better in a collection. Kickstarter loves the collections. So unless we have boobs on the cover, it's just a little hard to sell individual issues. So it made a little more sense for Depths to go the graphic novel route. It's still going to be split into the individual chapters throughout the piece. Sure. But it just made more sense to kind of package them like that.
Yeah, you say that. I always kind of had it in my head as a graphic novel, but that's me. I always saw it as the finished product, not the...
So there was like no changes to the script at all when you guys geared towards that graphic novel approach?
Not really, no.
Thankfully.
We knew we were going to have to structure it more or less the same regardless. Mm-hmm. We could have, had we known, you know, it was going to be a little bit more... it could have been a little bit more fluid, and maybe could have taken a page off and added it to the other. But
because it's water, like
I got it as I said it. All right, guys, I think it's time. You ready?
Oh, we gonna hit it?
Oh, hit it.
Let's go. 5. All right. 4, 3, 2. There's like 9 things I have to click. 1.
And guys, we're going to share that right now. If you are watching, check this out with us. We would love to see a back.
Boom.
But if you can't back, put it on Facebook or Twitter, wherever you can. Word of mouth is always 100% free. And it goes a long way in getting this boosted in the algorithm. So this is, you said, your 7th campaign going live?
Yes.
How you guys feeling? I mean, campaign. You guys are like vets at this point.
My stomach is in absolute knots. I have never been more nervous since our first campaign, I don't think. This is a
huge project.
It's a huge project. It's by far a big... And Mechaton and Frankenstein both mean something to us, obviously. Like, or we wouldn't be putting ourselves through hell to get them made. But, like, Depths is, like... I mean, I've said it before. It's the reason we started doing comics. It's the reason I started doing comics was to tell this story. So, like, the prospect of it, you know, going out into the world and people having the chance to say, yeah, I really want that, or no, I don't want anything to do with that. That's terrifying, you know? You always want to keep something very precious. You want to keep this right here where, you know, this is my little idea, and it's perfect as long as no one else sees it. And so letting it out into the world can be terrifying, and this one more so than a lot of others that we've made.
Colin, what about you? How are you feeling, man?
It's another day of paradise, my friend.
He's like, new game plus 6 on Dark Souls.
Let's go. Like, whatever. Like, let's go.
Yeah, no, it's another campaign. No, Depths is really personal to me. Wells is just more, he's just a more anxious guy than me. I really want Depths to do well. It is a story that means a lot to us and me personally, and I want it to do well, but also at the end of the day, I'm like, I've said it before, I'm a selfish creator. Like, I just, you know, it'll get made regardless of if the campaign does well or not. Just go do it now so that it happens now. Like, I would rather have it happen now than later. It's a campaign, guys. Let's do Depths. Yeah.
All right, like,
it'll get made maybe eventually. I should add on
the fact that you have a hardcover book coming out, that has to feel like prestigious,
cool.
Right?
That is cool.
Like, put that up on a bookshelf, like, open it up, like, leather bound. I don't know if it's leather bound, but it feels leather bound. Like...
Unfortunately, no. Leather bound, we have not figured out how to make that happen for a comic book yet. Although, maybe one day.
But hitting this new, like, milestone in your guys' career has to be pretty exciting.
We've never even done a collection before. Like, we had Descent into Dread come out, but Caliber handled all of the logistics there. Mm-hmm. And so this is our first Kickstarter collection and hardcover paperbacks. And so, yeah, it is. It feels really cool to see, like, oh, and especially with Heather Vaughn's, like, cover for the hardcover. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, that's a thing. That's prestigious.
Yeah. It feels big for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love it. It's gorgeous, too. Is it the one that's on the Kickstarter banner?
So the one on the Kickstarter banner is actually it's a print. It just turned out so beautiful. We wanted
it is gorgeous.
Sort of showcase it more.
Mm-hmm.
So we have,
but yeah, my friend Tina Isola, who's a comic creator an artist out of Nashville, where I used to live. She did that for us, and
that's cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, we met in Chicago actually for the first time last year at Fan Expo. She was boothing right across from us, and we got to talking. Realized we're from the same place, and we'll put it on screen here in a second. But mm-hmm. like, her style is so distinct and interesting, and I was just like, yeah, that would be sick for this book.
So let's dive a little bit into depths, why don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a 1930s engineer who has a really rather unique diving suit and gets trapped underwater for 3 years. That is a really interesting concept. Mm-hmm. Why, you know, why the 1930s first and foremost? Like, what made you want to go with that era of time?
I love like 1930s adventure fiction. Like, Raiders of the Lost Ark is my favorite film. I'm a big Indiana Jones guy, so I love that kind of era, that era of adventure. And I also love the look of, like, the old diving suits. Like,
oh, yeah.
The first image of Depths was that first page of Emil coming out of the darkness in the suit. And I was like, that's cool. What's the story there? And so the fact that it's the 30s allowed us to kind of have the diving suit, have that kind of that sense of adventure where the world is still mysterious. And the idea of the perpetual diving suit is still not a reality, but even back mm-hmm. in the 30s, it's like magic. It's cool. And it really, I don't know. I think the era allows the concept to pop a little more than it would if it was set in like the 90s or something.
Yeah.
We have our good friend Junji rating us over on Twitch with a party of 7. Thank you guys for joining us in the middle of this launch party. Yeah. Definitely appreciate all the love and hype. We're getting ready to take a deeper look into Depths, you guys. I'm on the fire with this.
I mean, they come so easy, don't
yeah,
they?
I know, like, it's like rolling off the tongue. So water, I mean, that seems like the perfect metaphor for depression, for sadness. Like, you're just ultimately drowning in it. Like, was that your guys' direction with this, or was it kind of just like
got
a
it
happy
in
mistake?
One.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was like it worked. Everything sort of fit together so neatly. It felt like we had, like, there wasn't an excuse not to explore the territory of just, like, mm-hmm. you know, that's sort of what it feels like when you're at your worst. You're just struggling to move forward. You have just so much resistance on you. It feels like you're trying to navigate underwater, yeah. trying to, you know, run as fast as you can without getting anywhere.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just capturing that feeling of, like, you're stranded underwater. You can, you know, maybe if you look up, you can even see the surface, but there's no way up.
It's almost like fighting in your sleep, it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you fight in your sleep and your fists just kind of turn to jelly
You're getting so mad at yourself, like, mid-dream. It's like, come on.
Yeah. It was also one of those things where Wells takes a look at the first draft and he's like, oh, cool. He's underwater. It's blue. He's depressed. I get it. It's like depression. And I'm like, that's exactly it.
So what was going through your mind then? You know, were you just kind of going with the flow, or was
depression?
Yeah.
It was, I mean, that was literally like the circumstances.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
As I recall, you, like, we were just out of college. Mm-hmm. You went to go live by yourself, and literally by yourself. You weren't even like with your now wife at the time. It was just like in an apartment, and you just like, for like a month, it's just radio silence from Dalton. I don't hear anything. And then the next thing I hear is like, yeah, I'm moving back home. I can't do this anymore.
But hey, I got we got depths out of it. I wrote that first issue in like,
we got two distinct things
a
out
night
of that
or two.
Time period.
Yeah.
We got depths and the idea for depths, and we got your weird obsession with Teletubbies. Those are the two things.
Hey, you know,
got.
Which one though? All of them or?
Oh no, the original. Like you got the original show. Just it was a dark time, so those funny little weirdos made me happy.
I get that though. I get that. What you know? What was mine? Futurama was like my always like my big go to. Mm-hmm. Like BoJack Horseman. Just like watching someone else's life fall apart when mine was, it made me feel a little bit better. You know what I mean? Like I might be doing bad, but I'm not as bad as this horse. Like
I just liked watching the fat things fall down hills and giggle. It's like, oh, the son's a baby. That's great. Okay.
So we
I
know
hurt
that you
so much.
You both are the writers on this. Who, what, you know, who else is the creative team involved?
So we have Jay Sheik is the line artist. He is, he currently has a series called Ronin coming out through, or is it Hush? No, Hush Ronin. It's called Hush Ronin.
You were right on both circumstances.
coming out through Band of Bards. He's a phenomenal artist. We have worked with him before doing variant covers, and we like his style a lot for what we're going for this. It's very grounded, very realistic in a lot of ways. And then, we brought the concept to him, and he was like, "This sounds like a ride or die project for you." And I was like, "Yeah, it is." He's like, "I'm in." He's like, "That's what I want to hear." Rajesh Kumar is the colorist. He was brought in on Jay's suggestion. They worked really well together in the past. And he has this great way of coloring underwater scenes that just make them feel really claustrophobic and murky that I like a lot, that really fit the tone of the book. And then on letters, it's Nathan Kempf, who we work with on everything else. Yeah. and you would never guess, because you look at this book and it looks nothing like the other books. He's just got such a like flexible style.
That's a sign of someone who's killing it, though, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's an incredible letterer. And then Brenda Snellby doing the design for, you know, putting the book together, putting the covers together, putting the Kickstarter together. I assume we'll take a look at the actual Kickstarter page here in a second.
Oh, yeah, yep.
But you're going to see it's, like, beautiful, and that is all her. Like, she did that.
That's awesome.
And the logo killed it on that. That logo was one of the hardest things we had to figure out. Nothing worked because depths as just a word is not in itself fascinating. Like Frankenstein the Unconquered, you have to make it visually interesting. And it was beating our heads against a wall trying to figure out how to do that. And
you know, Brenda, it sounds like almost like the perfect death metal band name. You know what I mean?
I mean,
post hardcore. I don't know.
I mean, you guys, are we going to start a band? Is that what this is?
We're definitely starting a band. 100%.
So I think right now, let's take a splash. Let's go ahead and head over to Kickstarter and see what all the hype
I'm
is about.
With you.
Okay.
You.
My guy.
You got to chill out.
My guy, we're going to be putting up with these puns for the whole month. You need to chill.
And once again, for everyone that is watching, we're going to go ahead and refresh this to get the link. Be sure to check this out with us on your own screen. And if you can back it, we would love to see that. But if not, putting this wherever you can works just as well. Word of mouth is 100% free. And, you know, putting it on Facebook and Twitter goes a long way. You're probably going to have a friend that is going to love this book. It is gorgeous looking. And I think everyone can relate to being, you know, depressed. That is a hard thing to fight through, to struggle through. So I think it's big to kind of highlight that. You really don't see a lot of stuff like that highlighted. You know, how important was it for you guys to kind of get this out there in the world?
Yeah, it was like, it's the thing we've been talking about, like, okay, we do this, and then maybe next we get to do Depths. And it kept on kind of being that for a while, and then we figured out that it was actually time. Like, sometime last year, we were like, okay, we can do this, and we have this empty slot. Maybe this is the time we can actually do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was the one we started out with, but it was the one we couldn't start with.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense. Like, you're not going to bust the doors open with some sad boy lit underwater. Like, you got to bust the doors open with a glove that converts things into robots. That's the fun stuff. And then those suckers who are in on Mechaton, if they like it, they'll come along the ride for Depths.
Oh, that is awesome. Guys, we are looking at Depths, a graphic novel about grief and underwater survival. A 1930s engineer builds a perpetual diving suit and gets trapped underwater for 3 years. His friends search for him against all odds. Currently at $326 of a $20,000 goal with 7 backers and 29 days left to go. We just went live. You know, congratulations on hitting 7 backers already.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go ahead. You want to watch this video?
Go for it.
If you can stand my weird voice, then absolutely
For it. So you guys won't be able to hear it. Sorry about that. But everyone who else who is watching will be able to hear it loud and clear.
Yeah, have fun.
I used to love the water. My brothers and I used to go swimming in a small pond behind our house when we were kids. It hadn't always been there. My father had made it when I was 3, something like that. Before he stopped recognizing our faces, Father would sometimes come out to swim with us in that pond of his. Especially in those early years when Mom wouldn't have us swimming by ourselves. He could stand out in the water, his chest hair matted and his arms held up high. He'd tell us to jump and he'd promise to catch us. Not that he always did. There were more than a few times where he must have slipped, his laughter getting caught in his mustache. But for those few split seconds, all alone under the water, I thought I was going to die. Then the water would rush around our ears and our heads would break the surface, and there he was, all smirk, his hands floating near ours, calm but ready. My brothers always said he'd never let us drown. He'd always pull us back up. My name is Emil Parker. I've been falling for a long time.
Ooh, that was good. I love that. Wells, if I ever, like, die, you need to narrate my obituary, man.
Thank you.
Hey, another backing. Thank you, guys. Whoever did that, big shout out to you guys. We'd love to see it.
My name is Wells Thompson.
And I'm Dalton.
You can skip that.
And we're the writers.
The testimonials are...
This is more or less us telling right. you exactly what we are going to be telling you right now.
Those interiors are so gorgeous. I mean, I remember looking into, like, underwater, like, welding and just how, like, treacherous and, like, terrifying it could be. Like, doing this in the 1930s when you really couldn't, like, you know, you didn't have the equipment we have nowadays would be even a whole different world, it seems.
Oh, for sure. No, it's literally...
Everything... Doesn't even have his knife at first.
Yeah, we call it, you know, we refer to it as the abyss sometimes, like just going into the kind of nothingness of it. Mm-hmm. But it really is like, especially back then, it's a massive mystery what you're going to find down there.
Yeah, they say, there's like some crazy number percentage of the ocean's not even explored yet. We've only scratched the surface. Yeah.
We know way more about like the moon than we do about the ocean.
And these covers are just so gorgeous. We have the champagne glass with the sharks.
The champagne glass with the sharks is the A cover. Squid is the B cover. That one's by Serge Acuna, who did the story in Descent into Dread, which was like our original short that had these characters in it. So that's sort of an homage to him. And then that third one is the hardcover. That's Heather Vaughn's cover,
which is Frankenstein's
too. Yeah.
Super. I love the way that one turned out. It's so good.
So right here,
I'm gonna watch that GIF forever. Like,
I was just checking out those covers. Now we get to check out these interiors, and these are just absolutely gorgeous too. So, how much like research went into this to making sure you were staying within the continuity of like what happened within that time period?
Well, thankfully, he's underwater, so he's not keeping up with all the trends, you know?
I wasn't sure if there was any parts of it out of water. I'm sorry.
Well, there's
a whole B-plot, yeah.
There's a whole B-plot that happens out of water, and the answer is both entirely too much and not nearly enough, which I feel like is the case for most research. Like, we knew we had a story to tell that was kind of ours, and so he didn't want to hang it on like, well, this can't work if it's inconvenient with what was going on at the time or whatever. We didn't want that to be a possibility, so we weren't too worried about like fact checking, making sure all the pieces were in place. But we knew some general things, like one of the big obstacles that James, Emil's friend who's looking for him, comes across is that there's a big money shortage because they're in the 1930s, the Great Depression, no one has any money. Like, so searching for him becomes harder and harder and more of a strain. And so there are like factors that happen in the real world that do affect the story very directly. But again, it wasn't one of those things we wanted to be like a one-to-one category. Because we're already taking a huge step of being like, he builds a perpetual diving suit, a thing that doesn't and can't exist.
Yeah.
It's definitely a story that is set in the 30s. It's not about the 30s.
Okay, sure. I gotcha. So for anyone who's listening, what is a perpetual diving suit? Like, you know, give us a little bit. And if there's any spoiler stuff, that's fine. We can avoid it too. No,
that's the hat the whole series hangs. It's hung on. Like, so the suit takes in the water surrounding the wearer and converts it into breathable oxygen. So you just can stay underwater, and as long as the pump is working and the water can get through, you can breathe. And it also has a little machination to kind of filter out the mercury and all the fish and stuff like that. So like you have to catch the fish, and it's got a little grinder in it that you can put the fish in, turns it into a little paste that you can slurp it up into so you don't go hungry or thirsty. It's got everything you need except a toothbrush. I can't imagine what it's like if he comes back to the surface.
Yeah, we did not want to explore the what is it? the
oral hygiene of our protagonist.
I was going to say, what's that Tom Hanks movie?
Castaway?
The Castaway of it all. Cuz like the logistics of him him being in a suit all the time is already so much to handle.
It looks like these sea creatures are pretty terrifying too. I mean, I love just like aquatic animals and creatures. Did you guys get to create anything, or where did you pretty much just stick to what actually was around?
I was like the sea snake is kind of an exaggerated version of something that does exist.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we like that was one of the things that I did a lot of research. That's what I was saying. Like, we did a lot of research, mm-hmm. and also not nearly enough. I didn't do a lot of research on the period stuff. I have like an innate kind of knowledge about the 1930s just because I'm a hack and a literature major, and I really like that period of history and what was going on literarily. So like I had a sort of idea of the background noise going on, but I did a lot of research on ocean biomes, on diving, on ships, so much so that I wrote mm-hmm. a short story and an entire other short series about a different thing that I found fascinating.
Is awesome that your research kind of spun off into that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then and sea creatures and yeah, there's so every fish and every important thing that Emil interacts with, there's like real world analogs for, and most of them exist in the space that he would be. It was very thorough in that regard.
And then we have a look of potentially his life outside the water too.
Yeah, so three years earlier, ago. That is what you're seeing is not Emil, it's James Harrigan. It's sort of a bait and switch. You're supposed to think, oh, this is who this guy was before, and then
you got me.
And then it turns out this is his friend, and he is exactly
much more put together.
He's exactly the kind of mess that you expect. Like Emil, the main character, is exactly the kind of mess you expect him to be. You get a bit of character acting here and a bit of James hamming it up for the camera. And then that last panel, we finally see Emil as who he is. And he's in a rough place.
Yeah. And then we get a little deeper look at some of the characters right here as well. So we have our main character right here.
There's our boy.
Now, Dawn, when you were first writing this, did you have an idea of what the main character looks like? Or were you just kind of getting the story out at that point?
Yeah, that one. I don't ever really have an idea of what, unless it's something like hyper specific that I want. I'm never thinking about what a character looks like. There's just shadow people in my mm-hmm. head with a general shape, you know. Mm-hmm. I really want one, because like I don't want to sit there and create like a series Bible where I talk about all the ins and outs of the story and stuff. I just want to tell the story, and so I don't know. What characters look like don't ever cross my mind a lot. And so when we get to collaborate with all these great artists and I get to kind of see them, like I can kind of, my gut will tell me if it's kind of in the ballpark of like the idea of the character. And for the most part, like 98% of the time, it's always like, oh, that's who that is. Yeah, for sure.
That's such a cool way to approach that. So you kind of just like give them some ideas and let them go to town, or they just go to town and you pick from that?
Well, we always give a basic description of like, you know, Emil's disgruntled. He has a terrible beard,
yeah.
Like glasses. It really depends. And then the artist will throw up a few character sketches, and for the most part, the look of the character comes from the, for lack of a better term, like the heart of the character.
Mm-hmm.
So everything you see right here with Emil comes from the description and the artist's interpretation of that description. So it's one of the great things about collaboration, because like I can't draw like that.
How come every time during our trials and tribulations, we always have the worst beard? I don't know what it is.
It's true.
You can't have a luscious beard if you're depressed. You just got to get happy and grow one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we have James right here too, and he is a dapper. He looks handsome as hell.
Yep, that's James. He's sort of the face of the partnership, the friendship, and he's very dapper. He's very later killer.
Very Tony Stark.
I was gonna say, I think even in the script you reference like Tony Stark and Great Gatsby and Jake Gatsby, and just like these very like larger than life men who are
men of industry.
Yeah, men of industry, mm-hmm. Renaissance men, people who they represent more than themselves, sort of. James is very much that. He talks a big game. He flirts with everything on two legs, and he's a and he's a charming guy and a pretty smart one at that.
Yeah. So is there any special sort of like symbolism behind him? You know, I know like with water, that was, depression, and the main character you could probably assume is modeled after some things that you went through as well. But like, what about James? Is he maybe after a positive mentor in your life, or maybe someone who wasn't so positive?
James, I think James was, they're both the parallels.
Okay.
Emil is incredibly depressed, but he's like actually under the water, so the metaphor is super heavy there. And James is above it, but he's also incredibly depressed and like manic because he's trying to find his best friend.
I think he kind of represents a more like realistic, like you said, manic. Like it's much more immediate and urgent to him, I think, because he's. To him, every day that he wastes is a day that his friend could die underwater.
Yeah.
So he's got to make it happen now. And we just see that sort of energy kind of unravel him in real time. So it's just two different kind of facets of what's going on.
Yeah, it's never so much that we base, Emil or James on any one person. I mostly base the relationship on the relationships that I have. So like their friendship is based on the friendships I have and the manic depressive episodes that we share. It's just so beautiful.
I love Douglas so much. He's holding a little martini.
Oh, Douglas is great. Yeah.
Is that
Douglas
a martini glass?
That is.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Jade, I love it.
Jade drew that in kind of as a joke. Douglas is
a Labrador retriever with tentacles.
Yeah, he's Emil's companion underwater. He's the only one he gets to talk to and interact with. And he doesn't really talk back, but there's something there.
Very boy and his dog.
That's interesting, too, because one of the covers, it almost looked like Emil was being attacked by an octopus.
Well, there's a squid as well.
Or a squid.
There's the good tentacles and the bad tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
And then Grace, who you stopped on for a second there, is kind of our third member of the triad.
Mm-hmm.
She's a journalist that's there reporting on this great discovery the day that it happens. And not to spoil, but she gets very intricately involved in the story and what happened to Emil. And so she becomes a large part of the narrative as it continues on. And a big focus for James, because he at first despises her, and they have to learn to kind of move past that before they can do anything productive to find their friend.
I keep just thinking about Emil and how being stuck underwater for 3 years, like you wouldn't have any sense of time, right? Like you wouldn't really have any idea. And that's like the same thing with when you're depressed. You have no idea like about time.
Mm-hmm.
You're just sleeping throughout the day. You're waking up, it's like 9, you're like, okay, well I guess my day's starting like right now.
Yeah.
Like I just love how beautifully it's like all intertwining.
Yeah, no, this is, you're experiencing what we were experiencing when we were talking through this concept. We're just like, it works so well.
So let's go ahead and check out some of these rewards, guys. Once again, right there is the link. Check it out with us. We have the Chapter 1 digital PDF for $10. You get a digital copy for $20. So just for $10 more outstanding price on that. Yeah. A paperback copy, the physical, for $30. Like, I'm loving this. This is 112 pages.
Yeah, no, we wanted it to have low entry points and then also give people like big rewards if they wanted to spend the money with us and like really help make this thing come to life. Yeah. But we want everyone to be involved. So that was one thing that I noticed right away was like the digital copy was going to be $20. And some people, you know, that's a bit too much to put forward, even if they want to. Just for whatever reason, sometimes they just budgeting concerns, whatever. So I wanted to give them something up front where you can go in and go ahead, $10. You can have chapter one.
Yeah, 28 pages. That's the core. Like that's where it was born. Was that first chapter? And if you like the taste, then we've got the rest of the drugs for you.
And then you can get that paperback variant for $40 as well. And this is a gorgeous. So this is with the giant squid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So does the squid have a name, or is it just deadly and dangerous?
Yeah, I don't think it gets a name, no.
His name is now Deadly and Dangerous.
Deadly and Dangerous.
D&D, baby, let's go. That hardcover copy at $50, a gorgeous price for this, too. This cover looks outstanding. I and this is your profile picture, isn't it, Wells?
Yes, yeah, that's currently my profile picture on Twitter.
See, I was digging a little bit because I was trying to find a little bit of what I could talk about, and I was like, you know, I have a feeling about this profile picture.
Yeah, no, I always try and tie in so that, you know, branding as it were, mm-hmm. so that when you see me, you see whatever I'm working on right now.
So give us a little bit about this $80 tier, the early bird collector's tier.
Yeah, so a lot of people love collecting covers, and we wanted to facilitate that. So if you get this tier, it's all three of the covers, the two, the A cover, the variant cover, both in paperback, and then the hardcover as well. And that is 20% off of its true price, which is the next tier down, the $100 tier. So come in early and get yourself the collection, the Depths collection, if you will.
And then we have an early bird everything tier as well. Dawn, give us a little bit about this.
Oh, yeah, it's got all three covers. It's got that great print that you've been seeing all over the place. You've get the digital copy, of course, and Descent into Dread, our first published work, our horror anthology, where we took the characters from Depths and put them into a fantasy horror kind of genre, something that would never actually happen in the main book. Mm-hmm. I like to imagine it's like, I don't know, some schlocky comic book that gets published after the events of Depths or something.
They hear about Emil's adventures and they're like, ooh, we can exploit this for money.
Yeah. Also drawn by Serge Acuna. So you get eight gorgeous pages of, if Serge
and it's some of the
Depths,
best
it's
art
great.
In the book. Mm-hmm. I love that book still. It has so much great art in it. But Serge's story really is just like on another
Sings.
Level. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you get the Douglas Believes in You sticker and pin. Our little friend Douglas with the glasses and braces drawn so adorably by Fernando Pinto.
I love that so
Mechaton
much.
Collaborator.
Speaking of which, print that you're seeing comes in two sizes, like standard comic book size and 11 by 17. So you get both.
You'll want the 11 by 17.
Yeah. Well, you get both of them when you get the everything tier. So you
Douglas needs to be a plushie. I'm just throwing
it
out
there.
Oh, dude,
if we had the funds. But yeah, we're doing a sticker and we're doing an enamel pin with Douglas.
You know, you can kind of cut the difference, Cody, and just get it as a tattoo.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. Maybe I could. So, how long is that early bird special? 48 hours or 24?
It's 48 hours. Yeah.
48 hours.
So
you guys,
first
you guys have
20 or first 15 or 10. I forget the limits on it, but
you have first, 2 days to save $30. That's a pretty big saving too.
Yeah.
For the everything tier. Like that's so $30, guys, if you're on the fence, make it happen. What are you waiting for? Commission and hardcover, so you get a unique character commission from Jay Shrek. Is this any character they want or a character from Depths?
It's any character they want.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
Bonus points
too.
Bonus points if it's from Depths though.
If you want to make it from Depths, hey, I'm happy for you. But yeah, no, you can do anything there. We have that Ghost Rider up there and it's sick. I love it.
Here's another sick one though. Get drawn in the book. I mean, so where can they expect to be drawn at? Like any scene in particular or
So we picked scenes throughout the book where we were like, okay, someone could fit in here. So there's a number of areas that this is like for specifically as a background character, we can shine a little bit of attention on a person and you know, put their face and profile there. So you get to be in the book. We also have a draw me in with a line, so you get to be an extra with a single line. And as a minor character, if you want, so you get
an entire that is scene, so cool
an entire scene or two scenes where you are in the book doing your thing.
That is smart. You see Kickstarters here and there do the draw or add me as a character, but you guys have it in different tiers, and I think that is awesome and a smart way to go about it. You know, give them a line here or give them a little bit more significance with a higher price tier. That is brilliant, guys.
Absolutely. No, I mean, we wanted to give a lot of value for what we were offering.
Yeah, it's our first time with the draw-ins, so mm-hmm. we wanted to
for sure
spread that's really it cool. out. And then, of course, we have add-ons. We have the Douglas Believes in You sticker. I could see this being a motivational poster, too.
Oh, I love it.
Sweatband, you know, everything. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, this was something that we knew we had to include because, like, as we've been talking about, depths is really important to us, but also...
heavy.
Especially, it's heavy. Like, it mm-hmm. can be somewhat bleak sometimes to talk about. And I think there are moments of levity in the book, and I think that it balances out pretty well. But we wanted something that reflects, like, unambiguous, like, joy.
Yeah.
And Douglas was kind of that for it. He works that way in the book a little bit as well, but I just wanted something that's just unambiguously over the top happy, and we went to Fernando Pinto, who draws Mechaton, to do this sticker, and he did such a good job with it. I was like, let's put it on an enamel pin too. I like this a lot.
Then we have the print at $8, and this is so gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
This is so gorgeous. Did you guys use anything as a reference for this picture in particular, or kind of just have your artist like just go out of their imagination?
We sort of told her what we wanted, the sort of underwater landscape where he's kind of off watching, whales or some kind of big life form, like just something to show how small he mm-hmm. is in the space. And yeah, she just went from there. She gave us quite a few options as well. She was really generous with that. But this was the one that we gravitated toward.
So as we scroll through the rest of these, like, was it a challenge to write almost the entire graphic novel like underwater? Like, being underwater compared to above ground, it just seems like there's more limitations that you face.
There are. And in the first draft, I think originally the series was envisioned as like Emil goes in the water and you don't see the surface until like he does. And that proved to be an incredible challenge because the story started to really drag, and it's hard. So that's why the B plot exists. We get to have a lot of character stuff above the water with James and Grace trying to find Emil, and it really helps to chop that up in a way that it's more palatable. It's so yeah, you're right. Riding underwater is hard, but Emil has some motivations for being underwater as well, in addition to just trying to survive. So yeah. He has something that drives him forward, and we get to explore that. But thankfully, we also have the out of the pool stuff where we can kind of explore mm-hmm. more characters.
I'll add on that and say that it was challenging, definitely, but also like all the things that we would stop and go, wait, how would this work underwater? Almost all of those kind of turned into like a little situation or a crisis mm-hmm. or something that we had to resolve in the story itself.
Oh, that's cool.
And kind of helped move the story forward as well. So it was both very challenging, but really, really rewarding.
So speaking of exploring characters, we have at $10 Frankenstein, the Unconquered 1 and 2. So is that both of them together or one or the other?
No, that's both of them together.
Wow.
That's
just,
if you want to catch yourself up on the series, you get add 1 and 2 to your
awesome price on
to
that
your
too.
Order. Yeah, we'll send it right over.
And then sign the comic for $10. You get a mm-hmm. larger print at $15, a Buy Visibility signed anthology at $15 as well. And then Descent into Dread signed anthology, which had the characters from this book in a different, you said a different like fantasy environment?
Yeah, fantasy, horror. It's nothing. Well, the only thing the two stories share are characters. Like
the characters are there, the suit is there, like the mm-hmm. basic premise is there, but then it spins off into like into horror, into, you know, we wanted to do like, what would mermaids look like in the story of Depths? And they're pretty horrifying. which is interesting because especially it still exists in Depths, but especially early on, like the mythical monster aspect, like, was kind of a big part of doing Depths and like the story and sort of the background behind the characters. The Emil's father's ship is called the Seto, which is the mother of monsters, and so there used to be this big thread of, like, you know, Gorgons and Medusa and stuff like that, like, coming into the story and sort of mucking things up and making it interesting, and we're unclear as to whether or not it's in Justin Emil's head or if it's a part of the actual narrative.
I love that type of stuff where you can't tell if it's real or if it's just an illusion. Like, that is such, like, an immersive feeling.
Absolutely. And that turned out to kind of be difficult to pull off in the
story.
Started
to muddy things up a little.
Yeah. With what we wanted to tell, that was a little bit too much, but we were able to kind of translate that into this short story in Descent into Dread that we're still really proud of. Yeah.
That's cool. And then $20 we get the digital catalog as well.
Yep.
So Mechaton and Frankenstein the Unconquered right there.
Yep. All of our books on digital.
And then extra copy of Depths at 20. Mechaton 1 through 5 physical copies at 20. You guys are just killing it with these add-ons, man.
Yup. Let's do it.
Killing it. Oh, man. And then From the Static Horror Anthology at 30 as well. You guys had a submission in there?
Yes. My story is the leading story. It's the opener.
Oh, let's go, dude.
Yeah, it's called The Infant. Did it with Rachel Allen Everett, who is a phenomenal comic creator. She did the Manderley Devil. Manderfield Devil. Yeah, brilliant cartoonist, really, really strong artist, and was just a joy to work with, and went off. That was that story that I told you about. That, like, I worked on this book, and I learned a lot about ships, and I was like, it'd be cool if this happened on a ship, and then we turned that into From the Static, or into The Infant, which is the leading story into From the Static.
And then we have $40 for an extra copy of that hardcover. And then Douglas. I love Douglas.
Yeah. And then we just wanted to give a short explanation because he does stand out. Like, what's going on here?
That is so awesome. So, guys, you know the drill after kind of going through that. For anyone who might be on the fence, you know, you got a few moments. What would you like to say to them to kind of help push them over that? We'll start with Dalton first.
If you're on the fence about Depths, don't be. This is a book that's super important to us. It's something we've been working on since we started collaborating. It's deeply personal. It's going to feature, like, incredible underwater vistas. It's great, cool set pieces and characters that hopefully you can relate to and enjoy, watch their lives kind of fall apart and then start to build back. Like, it's a story about survival. It's a story about grief and anxiety and depression and maybe not necessarily overcoming those things, but dealing with them in healthier ways than drinking and diving. Mm-hmm. So it's yeah, so go check out Depths if you're on the fence, because I really think you'll find something to enjoy, especially if you like a little more literary meat to your comic bones.
For sure.
Wells, what about you?
Oh, if you're on the fence about supporting Depths, this book is gonna win a Ringo, and you want to be on the group of people who got on first.
I want to say you were there.
Yeah.
You want to say I remember when this was just come. Yeah. No. I thought.
Get in
that
thank you page.
yeah. Be on the thank you page.
So let's go ahead and cannonball into what's next for you guys in 2023. I mean, do you guys have any other projects that you're working on or coming out?
Yes.
Yeah. Always. There's always something.
We're never not working on something.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that I'm doing specifically is a graphic novella called The Catskin and the Rose with a good friend, Rachel Distler. Such a good friend. I almost forgot her name. No, we've been working on this thing since last year. It was sort of just a spark of an idea that was supposed to be a 4-page short story and then turned into this 68-page massive, like, graphic novella. And I shot the idea over to her before I even had it written. I was just like, hey, how would you feel about, you know, this setup? And she was like, hell yes. It's very, like, Princess Bride romance adventure. It was inspired originally by the prompt from, what was it? A Sharp Wit and the Company of Women, which was a anthology that was on Kickstarter last year that just did massive numbers and had hella talent.
I love
it.
The acronym for it. SWAT Cow. Yeah,
SWAT
Cow.
No, and I supported the hell out of that anthology. And I'm really excited to see what's going to be in it. But it got my gears turning, and I wound up writing a really, really fun story that I'm looking to do this year. So that's coming next. That'll be my next project. And then after that, we're doing Frankenstein the Unconquered, the return of Frankenstein the Unconquered.
Let's go.
Three and four, right?
Yep. We're doing numbers 3 and 4 together. Just try and get more of the story out at a time. Mm-hmm. If we can continue that format, that would be fantastic. Yeah. And then after that, it's, if we have time at the end of the year, we might do something, maybe a, Mechaton trade or something like that.
Ooh.
For the fans, but it's still open, so we'll see what happens.
Dawn, what about you? Anything up your sleeve?
I've actually just started putting pen to paper I'm starting a comic strip.
There we go.
Oh,
yeah,
dude, so cool.
So it's fun. I'm getting to actually lay the page out like a newspaper strip. I've never drawn that way before. But it's The Adventures of Bryson Wesley.
I love Bryson Wesley.
It's a boy and his robot in the 1930s. So it's like Calvin and Hobbes meets Indiana Jones. And they go on wacky adventures and steal treasure and have a lot of fun. It's been one of those. This is older than Depths, but Bryson mm-hmm. Wesley never had like a through line, and I finally figured out what that through line was. So now I'm actually like, okay, I can make this. And so now I'm starting work on that, and should start seeing strips. I don't know, probably in a month or two.
So cool, dude! So cool. Yeah. I'm so excited for the both of you. I think, you know, while we go to end this podcast, let's end it on something very strong and very important, I think, to all three of us. And I think, you know, for anyone out there maybe going through a little bit of a hard time themselves, and keep in mind, you know, call someone, you know, call a paid professional if you can't work through it. But for anyone kind of just going through a hard moment, you know, what piece of advice would you offer them to kind of help them work through that?
For me, it was always being around my people who cared about me and that I cared about. So like, I had to run home to my parents when I was depressed. And there's no shame in that if that's what you need to do. But like, being around the people that I love has always helped pick me up a bit more. And I know that some people have don't necessarily have the social connections to really make that work for you, but I don't know, it's always worked for me, and I highly encourage it. Go outside, be with friends and family, and that works
well. If you don't have that connection, though, that hotline, there's always someone on there always who will talk to you.
Hell, you can email us at fourcolormedia@gmail.com. I am not a licensed professional, but I'll pretend to be.
Oh, Lord.
So, Wells, what about you? If you had a little bit of something to offer someone to kind of help them,
I'm trying to phrase it as like, what did I need to hear when I was going through it?
Just quit it, man.
Just stop it.
Just be happy.
I mean, honestly, that every time Wells tells me he's anxious, I'm like, just stop, dude.
Just stop.
Why?
No, I think that first of all, What Dalton said is I think important, is like, you know, having that safety net of people around you, having that mm-hmm. support structure is so important and will improve just about everything in your life if you just have, you know, a group of people.
Even one person.
If it's one person, great. If it's a cat, that's enough. Like,
if it's keeping it geekly, that's fine.
Yeah. But, you know, start from there and then build it out, obviously. You want mm-hmm. something robust enough that, like, if any one part of it fails, you're not going to fall flat on your face. So that usually involves, you know, having a couple people around that you trust and you know, and that know you well enough to see when, you know, things are bad and to help you. Other than that, I would say... I would say that you shouldn't focus on, like, you shouldn't be sad that something isn't happening for you. Like, I used to get really bummed out at one point in my life that, like, I hadn't been on a date in years. And, like, I thought that, and maybe, probably it was some kind of character flaw with me, but the more important thing was, like, focusing on focusing on like, no one wants, you know, me as a person to be around. That wasn't helping me feel better about myself. It wasn't helping my situation at all. It wasn't making things better. And what wound up helping a lot is just saying, well, what do I like about myself? And what do I want to do with my time? And how do I focus on that? And I started, you know, writing more. I started doing more things just for myself and liking myself more, hanging out with friends more, playing board games, which is where I met my wife, was in a board game night with some friends. So I'm not saying, like, it'll always work out one-to-one like that, but she has the dumbest look on her face right now. my wife is coming to photobomb my life.
Read depths.
If that's reading, read, please. Yeah, join a book club, you know, do something that you already enjoy and try and make it social and talk to other people.
I got an interesting one.
Yeah. Please.
Start your day by making your bed, because it'll give you a small sense of gratification. And then when you come home, your bed's already made. You get to lay down in a nice made bed. It's something small that you could just start building off of.
Are you kidding me? I'm so resentful that my wife never makes the bed in the morning. Small task. I'm like,
small
God,
task, man. Small lady, task. Like, because it's
yeah,
a small
why is it
act
always
of
my task?
You know what I mean? Like, you get up, you shake off the depression of your sheets. Yes. Like, they're all nice. And I got a little bit of OCD. You know, I like seeing that nice, clean room. Something about it just gets the happy dopamines hitting on all fronts.
I have this weird, vague memory. So, like, I know, you know who John Green is? He's an author. Mm-hmm. And an online, like, person. Like, he does vlogging and stuff.
It's a personality.
And he was like, top five pieces of advice I would give anyone, and one of them was like, wash your sheets. It was like, once a week, if you have nothing else going on in your life, if you wash your sheets and, like, if you clean your sheets regularly, once a week you will experience the feeling of getting into bed with clean sheets. And that will wash away a lot of your like bad feelings. Like,
there's
just
that
one good moment of being like, mm-hmm. oh yes, this is beautiful.
So, like, guys, we end the show on a different note than we did last time. And that's where I get to ask you guys for a little bit of what you're consuming outside of creating. So, I mean, video games, books, movies, TV shows. What are you guys watching? You know, what are you getting entertained by?
We're keeping up with Barry right now. And I say keeping mm-hmm. up with, I work Saturday nights, so I'm having to, like, a couple days down the line, then watch it after the fact. But, yeah, Barry on HBO is, like, one of my favorite shows. It's so good. It's so good.
I've never checked it out. I hear a lot about it all day long, though.
It's so fucking good. Like, no, really. It's like Breaking Bad with Bill Hader. And everything that implies, like, it's so good. I don't have another way to. It's like, if you love movies and TV, and just, like, I don't know, weird shit. Like, it starts off with this enticing hook of just like, oh, this is gonna be like a dark comedy, and then by the end, I don't even know if it's funny anymore. But I'm here for it, 1,000%.
You're just, like, so emotionally invested, you can't get away.
And not in a, like, they're holding me hostage kind of way. In a just, like, this is fascinating. This is beautiful, beautiful camera work and great character work and, like, some of the best writing on TV. It's so good. And then for video games, I'm playing the Demon's Souls remake, So for the first time, playing Demon's Souls. Yeah, it's been really gorgeous so far, and plays surprisingly well. I think they did a great job modernizing the controls for it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don, what about you, man?
I don't have a lot of time for video games much anymore.
Just say so. Metroid again.
No. I've actually been, dipping my toes into the Spyro Reignited trilogy.
Oh, okay. So
I've been, you can just like, I'm on Spyro 2, and that's one of those games. One of those, I love this about older games where you can just like go do a level and then be done. And so it's like half an hour, I'm done with the world. I collected all the gems. I'm good. I can put it down for a second. But other than that, today I just started in my manic Star Trek obsession of 2023. I've started the animated series from the 70s. And
that existed.
It exists. All of the original cast came back to do the voices.
No,
and that's
cool.
Why the show was so expensive and got canceled. I think it was like 20 odd episodes, Filmation did the animation, so it's not good animation, but like you get to see Star Trek through a different lens, and it's really cool. I can't say I'd recommend it to anybody who isn't already into Star Trek, but I'm having fun.
I'm just imagining it looks like C-Lab 2021.
Yes. Yeah. Think of the most stilted Hanna-Barbera thing you've ever seen, and then put William Shatner's voice coming out of it. And that's
glorious.
That's it.
Glorious.
That's it.
Beautiful.
You know, something about those old school games, too, like where back in the day, it felt like it took like 2 or 3 days to get all those gems. But now you're just whipping through it in like 5 minutes. Like I've been replaying Final Fantasy VI, the Pixel Remaster on the Switch, and like just blowing through it. I'm like, dude, I remember this game taking months to beat when I was younger. Like, So, guys, with that being said, it is time for us to wrap up. Right there is the link to back this and make it happen today. Do not miss out on that early bird special. You can save some big bucks by jumping while it's still hot. Do not miss out on this. I hope you guys all have a fantastic time. Wells, Dalton, thank you both for swinging by. This was one hell of a launch party for real, guys.
For real. Yeah, thank you so much for having us again.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank to everyone who backed the project. We are looking pretty good right now. I'm excited.
All right.
It's been an hour and we're over $1,000.
Let's go, dude. We tripled since the beginning. Let's go. Right. That's exciting. So, guys, get on it while it's still hot. I hope you all have a lovely Monday, but most importantly, keep it geekly.